Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
So awesome to see what God is doing. And again, if you've been with us for any length of time, we've been talking about just the deposits and the things that God is bringing to Genesee Valley Church and this community. And you might say, you know, well, what's the big deal of sharing these testimonies? You might say, I didn't come to hear testimonies. I came to hear the preaching of the word. But you realize testimonies are the preaching of the word in example and the goodness of God. In fact, Jesus said this. He said, if you'll preach my word, he said, I will manifest my word with signs following. Amen. And so once again, you hear these stories, and some of the stories that you heard are stories or testimonies of people that have not been walking with Jesus necessarily all their life. They're young believers. And so you might say, well, what does that matter? You realize that there's a whole lot of religion and tradition in church. And some of us here might say, you know what, that's good for all of you, but you know, I'm just kind of not accustomed that way. That's not how I was raised. And so in sharing these stories, what it shows you is the goodness of God. And in spite of what we've been taught, in spite of what we believe or disbelieve, the goodness of God and the reality of God's power in his love is still in demonstration. Amen. And God says that he is no respecter of persons. And so therefore, if you have need in your body, listen, Jesus is still in the house. Amen. He's still got your answer today. And so praise God. God is doing some amazing, amazing things, and he's not done yet. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So listen, I just want to share real briefly. I know we're running short on time, and I just really got a short message for you this morning, backing or on the back end of the testimonies that we have. And really, it's really just in regards to the deposits that have been made in this church. You might say, well, you're still talking about the meeting. Listen, these meetings were strategic in what God wants to do in your life, in the life of our church. And the Bible says this. It says that we go from faith to faith. It says that we go from glory to glory. And the Bible says that we go from grace to grace. So in other words, in our walk of faith or our learning to live by faith, there is a progression, right? The Bible says that God has given us the measure of faith, but that measure can be cultivated and matured and developed to where your faith walk increases more and more, right? The glory of God, it says that we go from glory to glory, which means really the manifested presence of God. How many of you know that when it comes to the presence of God, it's not just when you get to heaven that you're going to experience him? You can experience him here and right now. In fact, for that matter, we should not get to heaven and say, wow, look at this place. I could have never imagined. No, listen, we should be living days of heaven on earth. When we get there, we should say, yeah, this is real familiar. I've been living this way and experiencing this for all my life, walking with Jesus. Amen. And so therefore, once again, it's the manifested presence of God or the reality of who he is. But in our walk with God, that gets more richer and richer and more real and more developed as we continue to walk with God. Amen. I mean, you think about a husband and wife. You've heard it said before. You know, they've been married for 50 some years and they say, I love her more than the day that I met her. And you think, well, how can you love her more? I mean, it's been 50 some years. I mean, obviously you've learned all of her quirks and you learned how stubborn she can be. And no, listen, the more that you grow in your relationship, you learn how to look over the small things. You learn how to embrace the good things. And what happens? You end up loving each other more and deeper and richer. Why? Because of the quality of the relationship that has been developed in time. And the same thing is applicable to God. Amen? And then it goes on to say that we go from grace to grace. So in other words, there are measures of grace. The definition of grace in one example is this, is it's the unmerited favor of God. Meaning you don't deserve anything from God, but you also don't have to earn anything from God. It's God's unmerited favor. He just gives you the favor of God wherever you go. Come on, aren't you glad you don't have to deserve it? Don't have to work for it. Don't have to jump through hoops for it. The favor of God, the grace of God is available the moment that you receive Jesus in your life. But there's also another definition of the grace, and that is God's empowerment and God's ability in you to do what you can't do in and of yourself. Praise God. In other words, the power of God helps you or enables you to live this Christian life. And again, the scripture says that we're going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from grace to grace. And so if you were here, a few weeks ago, just as we've been preparing for these meetings, my wife said this as she was up here exhorting. She says, it's as though we've taken a turn. She said, we were headed this way, and because of the preparation and the supply that's coming and being deposited in our church, we've taken a turn, and we're heading another direction. And then she said this just in our time of talking, and many a times when she talks, I steal what she says, and I make a sermon out of it, you know? And she said this as we were talking. She says, it's like there is a new measure of grace. That's on GVC. It's like we've stepped into a new season of grace. Now, there's a whole lot of, just bad teaching on grace, but there are good teachings on grace. You understand what I'm saying? So what does it mean we've stepped into a new place of grace? It means that there's new things that God wants us to experience, and there's new empowerments for us to do what God's called us to do. I said there's new empowerments for God to do what He's called you to do. How many of you know that you need the grace of God to be a husband or wife, a mother or father? Amen. And every day you wake up, I need a new measure of that grace of God to be the man of God that God has called me to be as a husband and a father. And if I don't have the grace of God working in my life, then all I'm doing it is in the arm of the flesh. And how many of you know that there's a lot of Christians that have received Christ, but they live their life merely living life doing it in the natural man, rather than through the grace or the empowerment of God. Can somebody say amen? I want to do this life that God has called us to do, to cultivate the grace of God in my life. Notice what it says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. Notice what he said. He says, there is a grace on my life, and because of this grace or this empowerment, I therefore speak to you. Remember, we said this in regards to the ministry gifts or the ministry that was coming to GVC. We said that they have a supply, that they were making a deposit as they came. What's that deposit? It's the anointing. It's the power of God. It's the grace that's upon their life. And as they come, they make a deposit of that grace so that what? So that we can have a greater measure of faith in our walk towards God. Amen. Now notice it says, you know, be sober-minded. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Well, I think a lot of us think that way sometimes. Well, I'm good with God. I'm just good. I'm good with where I'm at. All the while we're sitting there with our arms crossed, right? Well, what's that? That's thinking more highly than you ought. I'm good. All the while God says, man, there's more. Oh, there's so much more. Well, you know what? I'm good. I don't need all that experience stuff. I don't need to have somebody pray for me. I don't need to have those feelings that you talk about. I don't need to experience all that excitement in church. I'm just good like this. All the while, God said, I've got more for you. Amen. Listen, if you have not developed a lifestyle that's a little bit animated, you have not experienced much of the goodness of God yet. Amen. You may have prayed a prayer and said, I'm going to heaven, praise the Lord. But if you've never experienced the goodness of God, you'll sit there like a bump on a log, just living each day like the next. But when you begin to experience the grace of God and the newness of God and the goodness of God every single day, I'm telling you what, it'll put a song in your mouth. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll put a bounce in your step. And people will say, what's going on with you? I know you from back then. And how come you're not doing what you used to do? I'm inviting you to the parties. One guy says to me, I'm not getting invited to the parties anymore. They just don't bother asking me anymore. Why? Because there's a grace on his life that God is seeing. God's doing something, and they're seeing what God is doing, and they're saying, he's not one of us no more. And he's like, that's right. I'm not one of you no more. I've got the grace of God on my life. I'm one of them. Amen. And what is he doing? He's seeing the grace of God develop him in his own personal life. Notice the Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. If we're going to go from one place of faith to the next, if we're going to go from one place of glory to the next, we got to step into that greater place of grace. That empowerment that is upon us. Amen. How many of you know that when it comes to reading your Bible, you read something one day and you read it the next day and you're thinking, dear God, I never saw that yesterday. Amen. Why? It's because all of a sudden things are beginning to be illuminated, right? You're knowing him. I'm telling you what, my son is reading the Bible like a fiend. I mean, I can't get him to stop reading his Bible. Not that I would, but my point is he just constantly reads it. Now he's getting on me and he's saying, hey, Dad, how far have you gotten in your Bible? I'm in Leviticus, whatever it is, you know? Amen. Let me also tell you, he's not in here. And so I'll just let you in on a little something. While we were here at the meeting, the Hagen Ministry has put together a Bible. It's a leather-bound Bible. It has several sermons from Kenneth E. Hagen in there. It's a Bible that they developed specifically. And so they put all their materials away, and he said to me, he said, oh man, Dad, he said, I was wanting to get one of those Bibles. He said, oh, he said, but they got it all packed away. I said, well, son, I said, we can get you one. I said, no worries. He said, well, yeah, I just wanted to get, well, the Bible was like $125. And so he's just having a desire for this Bible because he's just eating it up. Why is he eating it up? Because there's a grace that he's tapped into. Well, then D, if you remember D, Patrick, he was the one playing the keyboard. D is his wife. They've been with us in our church a few months back. That's actually been about a year ago now. Well, she called my wife, and she says to my wife, she says, you know, I just have it in my heart. She goes, you know, they didn't have any left over because they only put out a couple per meeting. She says, but I just have it in my heart to buy Carson one of those ministry Bibles. And she's like, oh, my goodness, thank you. And then I told my wife, I said, well, what you don't know is that Carson was just so upset because he wanted to go buy one. But see, God already saw what was in the heart of a little boy, and he was already making a supply available through somebody else. Come on, I'm talking about the grace of God. If we'll tap into the empowerment of God, he'll take us to new places. And there is a grace that is upon this church, that's upon you, and you have to respond to that grace to go where God wants us to go. Amen. Oh, yes. Keep that quiet, girls. Keep that quiet. Because he don't know that the Bible's on the way. Amen? Amen. So God is calling us to a higher place. He's calling us to a deeper walk with him. And as I said, because of the grace of God, because of the deposit that's being made, there's been an opening, or grace has opened unto us a place that we can abide in him. Amen. Now, what does that look like? Let me just give you a natural example. You might have a home that you've been forever. And it's just a quiet, quaint little home. You've got it decorated real nice. Every little corner has its nooks and its little decorative things. And you got the things on the wall. And it's just cozy. It's beautiful. You've made your house a home. But then, you know, you've got this idea, you know what, it is time to upgrade. And we're going to buy a new house, and you decide to buy a new house, and this house is twice the size of the house you previously owned, right? Now, as you make the transition to move to the big house, you take all the furnishings and the decorative things from the old house and bring it into the new house. Now, in the old house, because it was half the size of the new house, you could decorate it real nice and everything seemed to be full and cozy. But now you bring all those decors and furniture to the new house, and all of a sudden your house seems empty. Why? Because what you once had filled where you were, but now you've come into a bigger place, and now you've got to grow into this next place. And God's wanting to fill it up. He's wanting to fill you up with wisdom. He's wanting to fill you up with knowledge of God. He's wanting to fill you up with a new measure of faith and glory and grace to fulfill all that God has called you to do and to experience. And you might say, oh, you keep talking about the call of God, like I'm called into ministry or something. If you're a child of God, you are called into ministry. Amen. I didn't say you have to be behind the pulpit or singing on the platform, but there's something that God has called you to do. And there is a ministry of being a husband and a wife. There's a ministry of being a mother and a father, right? And I want the grace of God to be on my marriage. And if you're in this church, that grace has been expanded. There's a new place for us to ascend to. Amen? So listen, God's looking to take your marriage to a new place. He's looking to take your family to a new place. He's looking to take your church to a new place. Now we have to grow into it. We have to expand. We have to develop. God's doing some new things. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's doing some new things. Amen. Well, right along with that, there are some new priorities. Right? How many of you know that your priorities can really get out of whack with the way that the world system is? Well, what's God doing? God's establishing priorities. Praise God. I said he's establishing priorities. He'll have you running here and there. He'll have you doing jumping jacks. He'll have you jumping through hoops. Listen, if we'll make the main thing of Jesus Christ crucified and him raised from the dead and being about the Father's business, we'll find that life gets simple. Amen. I said, life will get simple. I remember saying this one time years ago. I was talking about just all the, now don't hear this the wrong way, but I was talking about kids' activities and athletics and all that kind of thing. And I said, you know, the statistics show that in regards to your children becoming a professional athlete or doing it for a living is like 0.000000 whatever of a chance. And I said, so just keep that in mind that as you're chasing all this different stuff. And I had one father say to me, he said, I really take offense to that. I said, well, why is that? He said, because I don't want my daughter to hear what you just said. I said, well, what did I say? He said, well, what if she wants to be a professional? I said, well, if she wants to, then praise the Lord. I said, but you as her father, I said, has she got professional attributes about her? Well, no. I said, do you think she's ever going to be that professional? Well, no, she's not that good. I said, all right. I said, then just be realistic. I said, but what is the call of God on her life? I said, so oftentimes we're telling our kids, you can be whatever you want to be. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The reality is that God has called us as parents to help our kids discover the call of God and who God's made them to be. Amen. And they'll save a lot of time and heartache over the years. Praise God. Why? Because God has a purpose and a plan. And there's the grace of God for that. And I said that there's a deposit that's been made. Now again, just to help with a natural illustration, to help you see this, to drive the point home of understanding that there's a new grace that's upon us. Let's just say for example's sake, let's just say that you were used to, or your annual income was $35,000 a year. That's what you were used to. And then you had this long lost relative that was coming into town to pay you a visit. And as they came and they were spending time with you, you discovered that, man, this long lost relative is really rich. Like, wow, I never knew I had this relative. And it was just a really good visit as they came. And then as they left, your relative says, well, hey, listen, I'm going to leave you something, you know, and said, but, you know, hey, listen, I got to get going. And they end up taking off. And you're thinking, well, what was they going to leave me? They never said. But then all of a sudden, you get a statement from the bank. And the bank says that there has been a deposit in your account for $250,000. I mean, $250,000 has been deposited into your bank account. Now, it's going to take faith, first and foremost, right? You're going to be like, come on. Somebody put $250,000. You got the wrong account. Sorry, that's not me. And they're like, no, Mr. So-and-so, this is, and it was deposited on this day. Well, who was it? Well, we don't know, but it was just deposited. And so therefore, we don't have any record. And so therefore, it's yours. And then you put two and two together and you're like, oh, the family member. They said they were good. They made a deposit of $250,000. Now, once you get over the initial shock and actually use your faith to believe you've got $250,000 in the account and that it's okay for you to use. Now, as you start to look at that money in your account, what does it do? You've been used to living on $35,000 a year. You've been barely getting by from time to time. There have been days in your life and weeks that have been extremely difficult. But now I've got $250,000 in my bank account. In that moment, after you've received or purpose to receive or say, this is now mine, it gives you the ability to start thinking and dreaming and seeing a new life, doesn't it? Oh, I've got extra. I've got a supply. I mean, I can actually, that car that has been limping along that I've been struggling, I can finally get a new car. Oh, praise the Lord. Or maybe you've been living in an apartment and you're like, man, I can finally buy the house. Think about it. There is a supply that was made available that allowed you to start thinking and dreaming and expecting. And now that there is a deposit that has been made, does it not bring an ease to your life? Does it not change your lifestyle or your actions? Does it not make you feel lighter? Like, wow. I've been used to struggling, but man, I've got $250,000 in the bank. I mean, you just start dreaming. I mean, where you weren't, you used to be crying and just like, dear God, I need your help. Man, now you're smiling and you just kind of got a bounce to you because it's like, I've got a supply. I've got a supply that's put me over. Amen. Are you getting the example? The grace of God is that exact same thing. Of a new supply of grace. We've been used to living on this level, but there's a new grace for us to step in, to come up higher and to go deeper and further with God. And the sky's the limits. Come on, the only thing holding us back is our ability to believe and trust God, because there's a new supply of grace. Now, here's what we oftentimes do. Well, I know I got a supply. Now I got to scrimp and save and do whatever. Well, no, listen. That relative's coming back next year. And he's already got it in his heart. He's already going to make another deposit and supply to help you out. Amen. Praise God. Now, once again, here's the thing. You have to step into that place of receiving the supply. Amen. So, for instance, let's just say the supply has been coming, the supply has been coming, the supply has been coming, and you just get to a place where you take it for granted, and now the supply gets cut off. Now I got to go back to my $35,000 a year. Well, I've gotten used to living that way, right? Well, God wants us to come up and learn to live in this new place of grace. Amen. Now, don't frustrate the grace. I said, don't frustrate the grace. Why? Because the new grace and supply is here. And it will demand that you step into it. And if you don't, that's still here. It's still on this church. And if you resist it, you'll experience frustration. You might say, well, I didn't even come to the meetings. I don't care about this new grace that you're talking about. This supply you're talking about. I didn't even come to the meetings, so how does that even benefit me? No, the grace is still here. The grace is still here. So you'll have to lean into it and choose to come up. Or you'll get frustrated. Why? Because it's going to pull on you. Come up. Come up. Walk in a deeper place with God. Come to a place of knowing His presence and His glory. Come up to a new place and a new measure of faith. And come up to this new place of grace, of where God is empowering you to be and to do everything that He's called us to do, individually and as a church. Can you say amen? Come on, stand up with me if you will. God has called us to do some amazing things. And the Apostle Paul would always say this. He says, I come to you in the grace of God. The grace has been deposited. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You might say, well, I can't because. Listen, I want you to know, the greater one lives on the inside of you. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, I've got limitations. That's great. If you've got limitations, that's when God takes over, because He has unlimited power, unlimited ability, and He does the impossible. Amen. Say it with me. We, Genesee Valley Church, can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now make it personal. Say, I can do all things. Oh, come on. Say it like you mean it. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will not be defeated. I will not quit. I will fulfill all that God has called me to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that You are empowering us to step into a new place, new places in Christ, walking in a greater dimension of knowing You, of greater faith, of greater glory, and greater grace. We are unstoppable, for we are the triumphant church. We are the church that has been commissioned to reach this community and the greater Flint area. I thank You that the anointing is increasing and our words have weight, and we're changing the environment and the landscape of this community. And Lord, it begins in our home, in our house, in our marriage, in our family first. And this we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. And if you agreed with that, say amen. Amen and amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.